On Tuesday, January 1st, we'll be entering our fourth year with a Facebook group called The Word, W-O-R-D, which stands for Working on Reading Daily. It's been a very simple goal. We're just trying to read more, spend more time in the Word in our lives. And at the beginning of each year, we kind of reissue a new reading schedule, and we encourage more people to join with us. There's about 500, I think, some Christians across the entire nation that are reading together. And the purpose of this lesson this morning will be to encourage you. It's encouragement. That's what it's going to be. I can't make these decisions for you. I can't say you should do this. I could say those things, but that would not be the right way to do it. I want to encourage you to think about, at the bare minimum, think about maybe trying to spend a little more time in the Word this year. Romans 12 and 1 says that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice. How do we do that? What do you sacrifice? This is true worship. We offer ourselves. We make sacrifices, if we are Christians, for the Lord. We do things for the Lord. How can we do that? What are ways that we can do that? One of the ways I think we can do that is to sacrifice some of our time. It's hard to do. Sacrifice some of our time to spend a little time in the Word. And you might think, well, that's not really that hard to do. It's 10 minutes. I mean, at the most, we're going to be reading 10 minutes, probably, at the most, each day. That's hard to do. I'll admit it. It is hard to do that. You would think, well, 10 minutes, that's hardly anything. Well, it's amazing how much your day can be filled with all kinds of things in your life. I'm talking from experience. And so to actually think, okay, I'm going to sit down now and read the Word of God for 10 minutes, sometimes it's difficult to fit that in and do that. It doesn't seem like it should be, but it can be. So I don't want to guilt people into this. If you're going to do it because you feel guilty that you can't take up 10 minutes, then that's probably not the right reason. We don't want to feel guilty and drive us to want to become closer to Christ or to spend some more time in the Word. I want to try to encourage us to think about, this could be a good thing. This might actually improve my life. I could find some value in this, and I'm going to try it. Maybe I'll try it for a little while. And I do with my physics students all the time. I really try to lower the standards so that we can meet them. If you start on Tuesday with us, and then you fall off real quickly by Wednesday. Hey, you read one day, and that's successful. That's good. You spent one day in the Word. Maybe that's more than you did last year. Let's think about this being positive and think about, you know, how long can I persevere? How long can I keep sacrificing and giving something to God, 10 minutes to God each day? Can we do this or can we not? And I don't want us to feel that, you know, I've heard people say, you know, it's like, you got to be careful with when you do these things, you know, and I'm like, I don't quite understand that. I don't know how I have to be careful about thinking about reading the Word of God. Now, there can be some, I understand what I think people say when they're talking about that. They're saying that, well, then you forget to read and you kind of give up and now you feel really bad about yourself. Well, we have sin in our lives, people. So there's a lot of reason for me to feel bad about myself a lot of time. So if I can even read once a week, that's great. That's great. And so I just encourage you to try to maybe think about this year, can I sacrifice some time and devote myself just a little bit more to God? And when I fail and I forget to read, I just forgot to read the last 3 days. When I forget to do that, forgive yourself, because Christ will. Christ will forgive you for that, and start up again and try to do it again. Try to be even a little bit better. I don't like calling these New Year's resolutions. We kind of refrain from doing that in this Facebook group. We call it changing your life. That's what we're trying to do. So we've been doing it for 4 years or so now, and there's a lot of, I think a lot of people in this group would say that it has changed their lives. I know it's changed my life. It's definitely changed Ginger's life on spending time reading together and spending more time in the Word. We want to make it a habit, a good habit, that we don't think about, oh, it's January 1st, I'm going to try to do it again this year. We want to just make it be part of our life. I know it was part of Bob's life, and we appreciated him being part of this group. And, you know, if you went to visit him in the hospital, he had his cell phone and his Bible. And that's what he had next to him. And he used those both for good. And I think we can use that as an example and try to incorporate this into our life a little bit more. There's the Word of God is compared to a lot of things in the Bible, but consistently it's referred to as food. Referred to as food. Time and time again. I didn't even get all the verses that it's referred to as food. I just thought a couple that I thought were interesting. 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Nourishment is what we can get from reading the Word of God. The words of God can be nourishment to our soul. There's two examples of people, two men in the Bible that were actually, that they said they ate the Word of God. There's an example in the Old Testament, example in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah 15 and 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. You get a little bit more to this picture in the book of Revelation 10 and 10, when the Apostle John eats the book. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Why? Why was it as sweet as honey? Because when you look into the Word of God or you consume the Word of God, you find sweetness there. You find that you're saved. You can be saved, and you find the way to salvation and how sweet that is. You can find that. But what also do you find? You find your sin. You find the sin that you have in your life. The Word of God points to that in you and says, you need Jesus. And that can be bitter, and that can be sad, and that can convict your soul. But the sweetness of the salvation that we can have if we look into the Word of God and we read about these things on a daily basis can be nourishing to our soul. There's types of food for our growth. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The beginning of our spiritual life, we have, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk. We look at the scriptures and we think of it as milk, and we look at the maybe not as complicated parts and what we can do in our lives at that point in our lives. But then later on, we need to move on from those, and we need to look at more complicated things in the scriptures and see how we can apply those. How can I become a doer of the Word and put this into my life? Hebrews 5:12-14. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Constant use. Constant consuming of this food. So this is why when the Lord was tempted in the wilderness, he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, what's the devil going to try to tempt him with? It's a very obvious thing, right? He's going to tempt him with food. Turn these stones into bread. And of course, what was Jesus' answer? Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, physical food. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The spiritual bread is the more important food. Man shall not live on physical bread alone. And we hear almost the same thing in Job. Job says the same thing in 23 and 12. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. I desire this word of God even more than my physical food. I desire it that much. That's what Job says. Why do we eat physical food? I mean, I know there's lots of things. I could go through a whole list of things I love to eat, right? Shirley brought me brownies this week. I was going to bring them today to share with you, and I decided, why should I put that temptation in front of you? So I left them at home. Thought that was pretty good of me, right, Mike? Mike wants me to bring them. Why do we need physical food? If we stop eating physical food, what will happen to us? We'll die, right? We'll die. We need physical food for our physical life, right? We need physical food for our physical life. Is your physical life all you have? Is your physical life all that you're made of? You all disagree with that because you're here this morning. The only reason you could be here this morning is because you realize there's more to your physical life. You also have a spiritual life. Now, which one of those last the longest? Your spiritual life is eternal, right? Your physical life will come to an end. Your spiritual life will continue on, right? If you need physical food for your physical life, what do you think you need for your spiritual life? You need spiritual food. This is why the analogy is made. This is why Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone. That's just thinking, that's narrow-minded thinking. That's thinking about a physical life. Man survives on spiritual food. We need the Word of God to be able to strengthen our spiritual life. It's more important. Spiritual food is more important. If you look here in this last passage here, Job says that he treasures the words of his mouth, the word of God. It's a treasure. It's a valuable treasure. How is the word of God a valuable treasure? What treasures does it give us if we're willing to look into it and read it? Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Prosperous and successful. Is that physical riches? Well, could be. There could be some things that we get because we're first seeking the kingdom of God. I believe that's probably somewhat true, but it's not the prosperity gospel by Joel Osteen. That's how he would take this. We're talking about spiritual things, spiritual food, providing for a spiritual life. And what do we have in that spiritual life? Do we not have spiritual riches? Can we not become rich, prosperous, and successful in our spiritual lives if we consume this word of God? John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Is that valuable? Is it valuable knowing what's true and what's not? The world, as we've heard often, is fake news. Fake news didn't just start with our last president. Fake news, the world is always fake news. False prophets, false ways to worship. You're bombarded constantly with things that are false. We know where the truth is. We all know where the truth is. You don't find it in any newspaper or any website. You find the truth in the Word of God. That's what it says here. Your Word is truth. Would you like to know the truth? Would you like to be reading the truth? What is the truth? Right? That's what Pilate asked Jesus. What is truth? And he was looking at it. He was looking at the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. How do we get faith? How do we strengthen our faith? Increase our faith. How do we do that? When you pray to God, increase my faith, he gave you the answer already. He gave you the Word of God. He left us the Word of God. If I want to increase my faith, I need to read it. I need to delve into it and see what there is so that I can constantly be increasing my faith. Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. That's a big one for me. Encouragement about the hope that has been promised to us. That's what I read. When I read through the scriptures, I'm encouraged because I read about Jesus dying and then resurrecting for me so that I have some hope. I can be resurrected on the last day too because God has the power. He showed us he has the power. I can read about it. And that's encouraging. And so encouragement and hope is something that we can read about in the Word of God. James 1:21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. There's a couple things here. Number one, it tells me about the bad things I'm doing. I can read certain passages and think, God's talking to me there. I need to watch that. I need to think about how I treat my brother there. I'm guilty of what I read right there. And it makes me want to change that. And I can humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save me. Salvation, is that valuable to you? Is your salvation valuable to you? You find salvation and the way to salvation in the word of God that he has left behind for us. That's where we can find it. Let's spend some time in that. Psalm 19, I just put one verse up here, but I'm going to read a few more on this one. I'm going to read 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. I wanted to say that and pretend I said that. You can't say that any better, can you? About the Word of God. That is an amazing passage about the Word of God. All the benefits that you can get from looking into the Word of God. And some are rough. Some says that the servant is warned. That's another reason to read the Word of God. Not everything you see in here is going to make you feel good. Some of it's going to make me convict my soul and make me feel bad about some of the things that I'm doing. But it's going to help me. It's going to reprove me. And I'm going to be able to be better if I spend more time in that Word of God. In 2 Timothy, which we read this morning, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's a really good reason, if none of the other ones piqued your interest yet. There's a really good reason to be reading the Word of God because it's very useful to us in many different ways. It teaches us about things we didn't know about. It can rebuke us. We can see I'm guilty of that. I need to change that. It can correct us. Say, you know, I thought this way. Now I read this passage and I think I need to think a little bit differently about that particular aspect of spirituality. It can correct us and it can train us. We can grow from the milk to the meat. It can train us in how we understand certain passages. So that when those passages come around in our class, we can remember. Maybe we've written down. We can remember what it was that we discussed last time on that thing and not have to just always reiterate some of the things we go over and over again. Well, how do we explain this? Well, we explained it 2 or 3 times in the last 3 years. How do we forget? Well, sometimes we have a hard time when we don't constantly kind of look into the Word and remind ourselves of some of these passages that maybe Paul preached to us. So I don't think it's difficult at all to see why we should read the Word. I don't think that's the problem. I think everyone here can see the value and why it's that's something we should probably do. The difficulty is in actually doing it. To sacrifice part of our life to say, I'm going to try to Spend more time in here. And at the beginning, it's somewhat difficult sometimes. But I promise you, you can make it just part of your life so that you, if you go to bed and you're thinking, there's something I need to do, it can get to that point. It really can get to that point where you can't wait to have your 10 minutes of put the world away and just read some good words. You can get to the point where you crave that small amount of time, that little bit of moment where I'm going to sit down with my wife and we're going to read together to each other. That's my favorite part of the day. It's my favorite part of the day. It's so rewarding. And you can get to that point if you try and persevere. It takes perseverance and willing to sacrifice some of the busyness in our lives. We all have that busyness in our lives. So I'm going to get some volunteers here. What they're handing out is the schedule that we've kind of decided to do in 2019. It's very encouraging because we have this Facebook page and people sometimes leave comments and questions on it also. You don't have to do any of that. But it's nice to see people that are reading, and I'll go different places and someone will come up and, you know, say, oh yeah, that reading was really good this morning. And it's just so nice to know when you hear other people are doing it with you, it's just the best. It's so encouraging, and it keeps you accountable and makes you do more. So I'd like our congregation, if we could, to really attempt, you know, try it. You know, I know there's people that are going to say, I'm not going to do that yet. And that's, you know, we all work out our own salvation. I'm not going to be here and guilt people into trying it or whatever. I'm just trying to encourage, if you think about it, try it out. Maybe give it a try. So we're trying. We decided that we're going to try to make it, you know, encourage people as much as possible to join us, and we're making it a little bit easier. And so there's a couple different things that we're trying to do to encourage. Number one, and I'm just going to kind of say this out loud, we're not reading through the entire Bible this year. Okay, we've done that the last 2 years, and it's been rewarding and very good. This year, we're just going to read through the New Testament 2 times. We're going to go through it twice. There's a lot that's in the Old Testament that is good and valuable, but the Old Testament is a challenge for a lot of people, and a lot of the Old Testament is not applicable to our lives. That is a truism. The Scriptures actually tell us that, too, that the Old Testament has been made obsolete. That's what the Scriptures say. It has been put away, and the new covenant is here for us to learn. And that's not saying that there aren't valuable things in the Old Testament. My favorite book is in the Old Testament. And a lot of prophecies that point to Christ, to me, are the best proofs of the Word of God also. But there are places in the Old Testament that are difficult to and challenge to get through. And when we're trying to learn to become more wordly in our lives, it might not be the best place to start. I don't need to know that I can't eat lobster on Tuesdays, okay? Because I know I can. Because in the book of Acts, the lobster came down in a sheet and they said, kill and eat. I know that there's a new law, and I can read about it, and I can know the things that I need to do. So next year we'll probably go back and do the whole book, the whole Bible again, because there's lots of things in the Old Testament I really enjoy reading. But this time we're trying to encourage people, so we're going to go through the New Testament 2 times, January to July 1st. If you can make it to July 1st, make it to Eminence. We'll be through the entire New Testament 1 time, and then July through December, we'll go through it again. Some other encouragements. Number one, New Testament. Number two, you've been forgiven. So if you skip a day, then get over it. You skipped a day. Okay? That's fine. That's fine. If you want to try to catch up and read a whole bunch more to catch yourself back up, you can do that. That's great. If you can do that, that's fine. But a lot of times what I see when people try to do that, that gets kind of cumbersome for people. So my suggestion is, if you miss a couple days, forgive yourself, and on the next day, start in wherever we're still at. And yes, you missed a couple of chapters. That's okay. There's still more good news in the Bible you can read about. So give yourself a break and just forget about it and come back in when you can come back in and read. And if it's, you forget all the way till the Revelation, then read Revelation with us for the last couple of weeks. Our simple goal is that we're going to read more. Our simple goal isn't that we're actually going to try to read through the New Testament twice. That's not our actual goal. Our goal is that we are going to read more than we did last year. Spend more time in the Word. That's all we're asking. Spend a little bit more time. That's a very simple goal. Just read more. If you skip a couple, that's fine. Just read some more. Another way to encourage you, this is maybe for some of the younger people or some of the tech-savvy people, and if you want to, you can take your cell phones out. I know teachers don't say this very often, but if you want to, you can. And if you have an iPhone, if you get stuck on this, I'm not going to stop and help you right now. I'll help you after church. But if you have an iPhone, you need to open up Safari. That's the browser. That's how you look on the internet. If you have not an iPhone, you need to open up Google Chrome. And you'll navigate to this URL right here, PleasantHillChurchOfChrist.org/6. The 6 is for the 6-month New Testament study, which is what this really is. So if you navigate to that link, you're going to see a mobile website that kind of looks like this. I screenshot this a couple days ago. You'll all get to this on whatever browser you have on your phone. When you get to that, we don't want to have to put that into the browser every single time to see this every day. I'm going to type that all in. I don't want to do that every time. So we're going to actually put a little button on your screen so you can just click on it every day and see what the reading is. Okay, I'm always surprised at how many of my students don't even actually know how to do this. So if you have an iPhone, at the bottom, you'll see this little box with an arrow in it. You might have seen that before, probably. If you click on that, it'll give you a whole bunch of little buttons to scroll through, and you want to select this one, Add to Home Screen. You'll click the plus button, Add to Home Screen, and it'll put a little icon right on your phone. It'll be right there, so you can just click on it and see the reading every single day. That'll hopefully encourage and make it easier for you. If you have an Android or not an iPhone device, it's actually easier. Up at the top, you see the three dots, which is your settings. You always go to the three dots. Just click on that in the drop-down. I think more towards the bottom, you'll see Add to Home Screen. It's a little easier for the Android device peoples. And this icon will come up on your phone. You can name it whatever you want. I put a 6 there just to have something there. 6-month New Testament study. And this icon that will be on your phone looks like an app, okay, from that point on. By the way, if you just do PleasantHillChurchOfChrist.org and do the same process, you'll have our church website right on your phone. So you can look up and see who's on for New Testament reading or something like that. You can just do that really quick, okay, if you want to. I know some of you have that all done. One other thing, we got to stop here. One other thing is we do have a Facebook page that people comment on. You don't have to be part of that if you want. It's called The Word. If you type in The Word in the search box, or if you type in Readers of the Word, this Facebook group will come up, and you can join that. Whenever we post anything about the reading or whatever, you'll get a notification of that. Generally, I try to post questions. You don't have to do the questions. But there's some people, there's a couple old ladies down in Kansas City that love to have the questions. So I post the questions on Facebook each morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't actually get up to do that. I figured a scheduling way. One other thing in the back, we have a binder we're just going to flip a page every Sunday. So when you come in and you see that binder, it'll tell you what you need to read by the next Sunday. And if you have a big chunk of time on Saturdays, then go ahead and read the whole thing. That's fine. That's another way that you can do it. Read the whole thing. You can read Matthew 1 through 7 really easily. Okay? Read Matthew 1 through 7 by next Sunday, and you'll have 1 week done, and you'll be on course to finish this up. So that'll be in the back. You can always, hopefully it'll be a kind of a reminder to you to try to keep going. If you forget a whole week, you come to church and you see that, you'll think, oh yeah, I'm going to start again this week. That's great. Please do. Please join us in reading the Word of God. Probably the most important reason. John 1, verse 1, and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To spend time in the Word of God is to spend time with Jesus Christ. He is the Word. That's what his name was before he was born into this world and given the name Jesus. Before that, he was called the Word. He was the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh. To spend time in the Word of God is to spend time with Jesus Christ. Psalms 19 and 7, the Word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. This is how we are converted. We're convicted through the Word of God. If you accept the Word of God today and you want to be obedient to His commands and His Word, we ask that you do so as we stand and sing the invitation song.